Hello, good evening. This is Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential. Live life your way. It is Tuesday evening, and you all know what that is. Tuesday is my favorite time of the week. It's when I get to mash it up and get curious with people who are living their life their way. And tonight I have a wonderful guest. I mean, like just a wonderful young man on the radio. And I'll tell you a little bit more about him as we go on. And so basically, how was my week? My week was video has stopped. So my week was wonderful. I did a staycation. I went to my friend's house who lives in Williamsburg. Mind you, I live in Clinton Hill. So it was like what? It was anywhere between a $7 cab and a $12 cab, depending on what the rates were for the via at the time. And stayed at his beautiful apartment because he has a backyard, like a real backyard, where I could hear crickets.
Crickets?
I heard crickets in his backyard, and it was literally so quiet. Like, my neighborhood is very busy. It's because I'm just off Myrtle Avenue, so it's very busy. Mm. And there are no crickets.
Yeah, I can imagine.
There are no crickets. There are minimal. There are, like, insomniac birds.
Yeah.
The birds that never sleep. And so I was at his house, and it was great because he's got, like, a raccoon in his garden. I'm glad I didn't meet the raccoon. And there were crickets, and it was just really lovely. And he has a huge apartment, so it was really spacious, and a real kitchen with real space that you can move around, and lots of big countertops and a window.
A window in the kitchen?
A window in the kitchen. So it was really awesome. So I had a really good, lovely weekend. And I would have stayed longer, but he's coming back tonight. Mm-hmm. So there goes my vacation. But it's, you know what I found? It's really nice to get away from your apartment, from my apartment, and or anybody, spaces, and do something different. It helps the
brain. Yeah, a new setting,
yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, brand new setting. It was wonderful. So, yeah, that's what I did this week, amongst other things, wonderful things. I'm working on Lunch Lady. We've lost the video again. So I'm working on Lunch Lady, Grow Your Business. Feed Your Brain, Grow Your Business, which is a program that I started a few weeks ago, and we have our second situation event happening on the 22nd, and that's going to be a lot of fun. So, and this is something that I'm going to do consistently. So, it's just I'm so happy, and it's just really wonderful. So, anyway. I have my computer here, so we can log out and log in. We can plug out, plug in. And how do I go live on this thing? I don't even know how to go live on that, so you're going to have to do that. What do you need? You need to plug that in there? Well, we have an SEO, computer literate person here who will put us to shame and show us how old we really are. You know, these young people come out today with computers on their fingers. It's over this side. They might not be able to read, which is what I found with my niece. She can't read. She can barely count. She's like 5. But she can really maneuver a telephone and maneuver a computer. It's quite shocking. And I said to her, can you read that? She goes, no. I said, well, what are you looking at? She goes, I'm just looking at, like, stuff that I know that I want to look at.
Pop-ups,
yeah. She just knows what she wants to find, and she searches for it, and she does it. So welcome, Joshua Conrad, to my show. So people, I just want you to know how I met Joshua. Joshua is now 18, but I met you when you were what, 17?
No, I turned 18.
You just turned 18.
Yeah.
I met you when you were 17.
No.
I met you when you had just turned 18,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
17, 18. What's the difference? Come on, yeah. Really? You know. And I was at the Manhattan Chamber of Commerce at a networking event. And I saw this young person, but I thought you were like a young looking old person.
Yeah, I got that from a couple of people at the event too. When I spoke with them later on,
I thought it was like just an older person that had a really young face, and I was like very curious about him. And I said to one of the ladies there, Faith. Who was that? She goes, oh my God, he's such an amazing young man. He's like, you know, he's a teenager and he has a business. And I was like, oh God. I said, I must talk to him. And I wanted to introduce you to the people at LaGuardia, because LaGuardia University program for people that are in computers and technology, and it's completely free. But you have to give up 1 year of your life,
mm-hmm.
which I'm thinking at 17, you don't really have much life anyway, if you're not Josh. So welcome, Josh, to the show.
Well, I'm very happy to be here.
Thank you. Yeah. So come on. I want to know a little bit about you. You know, most of the people that come on my show are older, so they have a long story.
Yeah.
So, like, tell me your story. Where are you originally from?
Well, I usually don't disclose that. I just like the idea of keeping that kind of like a secret, because I was adopted at a very young age, and I just usually don't talk about, you know, where I was from, particularly because it kind of creates people like, then, well, where are you from? And then I just, I'm not telling you.
Right. So you don't want to talk about it.
And just because also I don't really, you know, I grew up in New York since I was like 6 months. Mm-hmm. So I've been living in New York City.
You're a native New Yorker.
Yeah. I've grown up taking the subway and bus and all of that and seeing crazy things on the street.
Uh-huh.
Right. And so.
And you're immune to it.
Yeah, of course. Everyone in New York that lives here for more than like a couple of years.
Right.
You just start to develop that. Oh, okay. You know, crazy people. It's all right. Yeah. Whatever. But, you know, I kind of grew up when I was really little.
Mm-hmm.
My mother has a Japanese background.
Mm-hmm.
My father grew up.
Do you speak Japanese?
I do a little bit.
Okay.
I can communicate. I actually went to Japan a week ago. I just came back from a trip there.
You went by yourself?
Yeah. I went for about a couple of weeks to see my grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, when I was really little, you know, I was kind of exposed to a mix of, I usually don't talk so much about it, but I was raised Jewish.
Mm-hmm. My ex-husband was raised Jewish.
Yeah, so, you know, just growing up, I used to go to a synagogue.
Mm-hmm. Do you know all the prayers?
I don't know all the long versions. There's a lot of long, elongated versions of them, but, you know, Shabbos prayer, a couple of other high holidays, you know, in the Jewish community, right? So,
do you practice still?
I don't personally, and in fact, I can get to that actually a little bit later.
Yeah, come on.
But basically, you know, I grew up with two parents. Mm-hmm. I would get all these looks from people because, you know,
your mother's Japanese.
Father is from Sunnyside, Queens. His parents were from Poland,
mm-hmm.
And then. You know, and then I'm adopted and I don't look anything like my parents. Mm-hmm. My parents don't look like it. It just really look. Yeah. I always get these stares, especially not so much in New York, but we travel to Vermont a lot where it's just everyone's white and there's
very homogenous.
Yeah, and then there's like one black person there.
Yes,
and
I've seen that one.
Yeah, one person in the whole county. And so, you know, we've kind of like gotten some looks. Nothing obviously hateful. Just because it's become
just
more
curiosity,
progressive.
Yeah,
definitely. And, you know, when I went to Japan, I'd get these kind of like looks from people, especially because my grandparents live in a more of a, not rural, but more suburban area.
Right.
Where it's just very much just
so
only
who's
Japanese
that?
People.
He's very dark. He's been in the sun a long time.
Yeah. When I was younger, I used to be told that I looked like my mom a little bit. And she looked, maybe people used to assume she was either Filipino or something like that. And so they assumed, well, you know, probably related. But yeah, so then growing up, I kind of knew I was just different from most people just because, I mean, my family just immediately set me apart from a lot of other people. For better or for worse, I'm not, you know, I don't really judge
You're doing this microphone thing really well. I'm loving it. Go ahead.
Well, and then, you know, as I got older, I realized in school that, you know, I had actually trouble reading when I was really little. I couldn't really read that well. I believe that I might have had dyslexia. I never really got a diagnosis, but I had, you know, trouble flipping numbers, letters, and stuff like that. And then I was diagnosed with ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, you know, I kind of realized I had some difficulty learning in school.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, and then that also kind of developed.
Let me ask the question. So was it difficulty or difficulty learning the way they would teach it?
Part of me thought a little bit of both, just because it was the difficulty of teaching, like the method that I was, you know, you're taught in public school and stuff,
right,
is a bit different,
mm-hmm,
from, you know, how I guess the human brain, everyone's different. So everyone's, mm-hmm, learning style is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was put into this kind of standardized, you know, educational system,
right,
it just felt kind of a bit odd,
right,
that I didn't understand it that well.
Right.
And so after some time, I kind of realized that it wasn't necessarily, you know, it wasn't necessarily like for me.
Mm-hmm.
And but the problem was then I started kind of falling a little bit behind. I never really failed in school.
Right.
I just had difficulty and struggled in school.
Mm-hmm.
And that led towards a difficulty in my, I guess you could say, self-confidence,
right,
or my self-esteem. And then,
right,
I kind of felt a bit insecure around a lot of my peers and stuff,
right,
just because I knew I didn't fit in.
Right.
And then as I got a little bit older, I talk about this a lot, actually, that in middle school, my whole life, I've always loved to laugh.
Right.
That's like my favorite thing to
do.
That's
my favorite thing.
Exactly.
To do.
It's the best thing that you can
do.
You
have to do it 10 times a day at minimum.
Yeah, exactly. And so I always hung out with the funny kids.
Right.
I always wanted to hang out with the funny kids that would make me laugh, that,
right,
would do goofy stuff that made me really laugh.
Right.
And so I met this kid, a couple of kids at my summer camp, and they really kind of made, every time I would go back to camp, I didn't like it because of the activities, but I liked it because of I would see the same,
right,
kids again.
Social.
Exactly. And so in middle
school, we're definitely kindred.
Yeah. And so in middle school, I hung out with the funnier kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of became that class clown.
Right.
I would try and make people laugh, because it was my way of kind of fitting in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also,
and also distracting you from what's
yeah,
the challenge.
Exactly. And also just because I liked the idea of making other people smile and laugh at something.
Mm-hmm.
And then in high school, I did that as well. And in some ways it backfired, but it also helped me. And,
right,
the reason why I say it helped is obviously because it got me to be able to talk with people and feel more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And then being able to, you know, talk with people just opened up my life and social circle a lot,
right,
more. But,
right,
I think it backfired simply because when I would speak more from, like, I guess, within,
mm-hmm,
it felt, yeah, it almost felt like it was brought out as a joke. And so obviously,
right,
when you're a class clown, people think of you only as a funny person and,
right,
don't necessarily take you seriously. And in my junior year of high school, right, in 11th grade, I went through a little bit of difficulty. It was also an interesting year for me just because I had so many new things happening to me.
Mm-hmm.
I was 16 and I was just kind of messing around. I was 16 and just, you know, going around having fun and hanging out with friends,
mm-hmm,
being mischievous.
Doing what 16-year-olds do.
Yeah, of course. And then, you know, after some time, I realized that I didn't really like, after a while, I think it was in May or the summer of my junior year in high school, and I, mm-hmm, realized I didn't necessarily like who I was,
okay,
in terms of the fact that I didn't like...
You wanted to be taken seriously.
That too, but also I was coming out of like a weird relationship. It was ending, and it was this weird... All this, like, you know, just the lack of self-confidence was starting to kick up again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, okay, I need to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember I started to... really changed that summer in terms,
mm-hmm,
of I would wake up at 5 in the morning instead,
mm-hmm,
of sleeping in too late. I started waking up at 5 in the morning. I'd, you know, go take a cold shower.
Mm-hmm.
I'd run like a mile or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would, you know, do all sorts of, I would start exercising, meditating more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've seen your page with the meditations.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of it. And I've,
yeah,
I've,
me too.
Yeah. It's great.
20
and
minutes. I do 20 minutes two times,
yeah,
a day.
Yeah, exactly. And so, but just before I started that, the reason why I started that was just because I'd always been in web design.
Mm-hmm.
I'd done that since like middle school. I just dabbled with computer programming,
mm-hmm,
and web site development. I got my first client, and was my barber, who was,
mm-hmm,
across from on the corner of my block. And,
mm-hmm,
right now he's doing very well.
Mm-hmm.
And when he first got to the area, I saw he had kind of an outdated site. It looked kind of crummy. And I said, hey, let me make a new site for you. He gave me about, you know, $50 for it.
Mm-hmm.
My first client. And then that summer, I realized I can make more money doing this.
Right.
And so I was...
So the money monster.
Exactly. And so I knew that I really wanted to continue doing that because it made me feel good about, you know, working hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I could feel the reward of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember in like August or something, it would be 6 a.m. and I'd get up and I'd just do a bunch of, you know, sprints. I'd do be in the park doing pull-ups, as much as exercise as I could.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember you know, throughout school, I was kind of obviously taken not as a fool, but just as the funny guy. Like, yeah. You can't be serious about most things. So I remember that those same phrases would be repeating in my head, like, "Oh, Josh, you can't do that. You know, you're not gonna. Why are you thinking you're gonna be able to do all these things?" And I remember I'd get angry at that, and that was my fuel source to be able to continue to keep going extra miles, extra you know, phone calls and sales.
Right. I think we need to take a break because we've gone way over. Oh. So we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
So we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And this week we're having technical difficulties, but you know what? You live, you learn, and you grow, right? Right, Josh?
Yeah, definitely.
So come on close to me so I can get, so people can see your beautiful face. You know, they don't need to see my face. They've seen my face often enough. Yes, so, and Josh has his hat on.
Yeah.
He's like, is
always wear the hat.
Yeah, you always wear the hat. Well, you know, people have their thing, right? Yeah. I always wear earrings, always wear jewelry.
Yeah. I always wear my hat and my watch. I've always worn, if anybody is, I've told
you. And you have great hair.
I've been told that, and that's kind of why I'm growing it out.
Uh huh. Are you going to go long?
Yeah, probably.
That'd be cute. Yeah. That'd be real cute. So you started exercising. Sprints, running, cold showers, getting up at 5 a.m. Yeah. So something turned in you.
Yeah, I think it was just simply because I had heard about something called monk mode, mm-hmm. which is basically, you know, you just make your life not miserable, I guess, but just more difficult. And you need to kind of overcome certain challenges like mm-hmm. getting up really early, taking cold showers, not eating as much sugar and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So
sounds like a good life.
Yeah, and so I started to do that more and more, and I realized I could. One of the things that I actually struggled with the most of my entire life was just social anxiety, I'd say, mm-hmm. and like
no,
and when I was younger, about 2 years ago, if I had told myself I'd be doing stuff like this, I never would have believed it.
Right.
I always wanted to be kind of just working in like a garage or like a basement or something, and then not really talking
really?
To people. Yeah, I never really wanted to go
socialize.
Out there. Yeah.
Do you think I always call that like, do you think you was experiencing Tina pause? That's what I call it. Like, my neighbor's kid, her son went into that when he was going into his teens, he got very crotchety, didn't want to communicate, locked himself in his room. And so I just called it, he's having Tina pause.
Yeah. And it was just probably because when I was younger, you know, I had difficulty, you know, I remember one time, I think I was like 13 and I was too shy to ask for, some guy gave me like a wrong amount of change at like a Dunkin' Donuts and I was too shy to actually go and say, hey, I need an extra dollar. So I just let it slide. And I remember that made me feel terrible. So I was like,
because it wasn't your inner self. It wasn't your true self.
Yeah. And like, and then as I got older, I realized that I got to start, you know, pushing myself more.
Standing for yourself. Yeah.
And one of the things I wanted to do is I wanted to join the army for that reason and like really getting out of my comfort zone. But in order to kind of sort of prepare for that, in junior year, I decided that I was going to do that. Right. And so I'd kind of push myself more. And I never really expect, like when I went to my barber the first time and I said, hey, you know, because he gave me one haircut. I said, hey, I kind of like your haircut and I like, you know, I want to help you out. And I made you this site. I immediately thought he was just going to like say, no, what are you doing? Yeah. And then eventually he was a very nice guy. He was a very great guy. And he, you know,
just made him a site.
Yeah. I made him a couple of pages and then I showed him. It took about like a long weekend. It took like 2 days to make or something. And then I went up to him. I said, you know, hey, Mark, the barber name. And I said, hey, Mark, you know, I have this site I made for you. I like your haircuts. I want to kind of help your business and grow your brand. And then he was like, okay, how much do you want for it? And then I didn't know what to pitch at that point. I didn't really expect to get that far. And so I said the first thing that came to mind, $50.
Right.
Very low price, but, you know.
It's a story to tell.
Yeah, I got my first client from him. I still get haircuts from him. He's a very great guy. And, you know, it just went from there. And I remember in the summer, I went to Vermont. I always go to Vermont. And most of the times before that, I had just, you know, really stuck to myself.
Right.
I didn't really talk to anybody.
Just existed.
Yeah, in that area of Vermont. I didn't really talk to anybody that was staying there or anything. And so that year, I remember I was going out of my way and just introducing myself to new people. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first person I met was several older ladies. They were like 60 or 70.
Older ladies like you, don't they?
I've noticed that, actually. But they were there. And so the first thing I noticed was that their feet were all pointed together. And so I immediately asked them, like, hey, are you guys close? Because that's apparently a nonverbal signal of just being like intimate or close or something like that. And so we chatted about that. And I realized, hey, I can do that. I can actually like approach random people.
Uh-huh.
And so I started doing that more with other people my age, started hanging out with other kids and stuff like that. And it made me realize like I can actually do this.
Right.
And last year, about this time exactly last year, September 28th, I started my company. I went from doing just trying to call people up saying, hey, can I do your website to I want to do marketing.
Right.
And I learned this from one of my friends. I've known him since I was 6 months old. He was like my first friend. A year older, I thought of him almost as like an older brother.
Right.
And he had been doing, we were running WordPress sites saying, hey, I make $650 a month or something, just running a site. And I was like, hey, well, I mean, I want to do that.
Right.
I want to do something like that. And so he kind of told me, yeah, just do marketing. Just do digital marketing. And then I was like, okay, what's that? I learned about SEO, which is, for those of you that don't know, it's a search engine optimization, essentially ranking a site.
Which mine apparently sucks.
It's basically ranking a site for a specific keyword. So if you look up, you know, a locksmith near me because you're locked out of your house, the first one is probably going to be the one that you call, or the first two, three, whatever results. So I thought, all right, I'm going to do that, right? Because like you can make okay money from that, seemingly $750. I heard people even made like $2,000 a month, and I was like, I can do that. Yeah, I could do that. And I knew about...
See, these were all young kids.
What?
Oh, these were all younger people. I shouldn't call them kids.
That were doing this stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. Generally speaking, they're like 20, 23, 24.
Oh, okay. So older.
A little bit older, but still young people doing this. And so I thought, yeah, I'm going to do that. Right? I thought, and I got an internship. And I really have to say, Lila, you know, this guy, David, he took me under his wing for a couple of months. I worked at Expressway Music, actually a couple blocks from the studio. And he took a chance on me, basically saying, yeah, we'll take you on as an SEO intern. I didn't know what that was, really.
Right. He was just like, yes.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I can do something like that. And then I learned a lot about it on the job. And it was a great internship because it wasn't a traditional,
You'll get some coffee.
Yeah, it was a very much like, it was just him. He had a project manager and then me. It was just three people in like this kind of a room, a very a small room. And I really enjoyed it. I would go there twice a week and I'd be really excited to go and work there. Even during some times where I was feeling kind of bummed out from whatever, I've enjoyed working there.
So let me ask you a question. So here you are, right? You're having this issue in school with learning.
Yeah.
And where did in the SEO, did you experience any issues learning?
Like obstacles learning?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. One of the things that I've always said is both an asset to me and a liability is just the fact that I have ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you've always preached that, you know, don't let it, you know, you can't let it define you,
no.
Right? So, you know, I've always thought of it like it helps me in many ways that I have a lot of, I would say I have a decently creative brain, right?
Right.
I can think of things.
That's the thing that ADHD people have.
Yeah.
They're super creative.
Yeah. And then there's also the problem that most of my life, I've never finished anything
right.
that I started.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big issue.
That's a big ADHD issue.
Yeah. And it would the part isn't so much that you don't finish it. It's after the fact that you feel kind of bummed out.
Right.
You feel a little bit like insecure and like, right. I can't do this. And then that leads to some cases, secondary depression.
Right.
And so essentially, you know, I felt a little bit of difficulty learning this stuff because when I first started, I was like, okay, well, I'm switching from web design to SEO. It's a bit, you know, showing the signs again. But then I realized SEO and web design go very well together, right? If you didn't know web design, you know, you probably will lead in. It led me in naturally to the SEO industry just because you're working with websites.
Right.
And it helps that I know a fair amount of, like, more technical web work, back-end stuff, just because then it makes my job easier.
Right.
Right. So I started doing that with my these results. And then he was like, well, I guess we can't do that. And I'd show him, okay, well, you can do it a different way. Right.
Right.
And he'd be like, wow, I never thought of it that way. And
so you see things really fast.
I see things, I wouldn't say not always fast. Things don't always come to me fast. Or some things come much faster than
right.
others. And then, because it's just, obviously, my brain is just a bit, I would say, even neurologically, a bit different than,
mm-hmm.
than other, not maybe the average person, but mm-hmm. From what I've, from who I've interacted with,
right.
I've seen that it's a bit different, right? And so, obviously, it has its ups and downs for that, you know, reason. But anyway, my boss was, you know, kind of impressed.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting, you know, the first thing that I did that I can't believe I started doing was cold calling people.
Right.
Was
and talking.
Yeah. It's talking to barbers. Immediately I get a decline because, first of all, I mean, my pitch was terrible and my the people I were calling, they were New Yorkers. They didn't
right.
want to be bothered with anything.
Right. And they probably had no clue what you were talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah. And I went to Stamford, Connecticut to speak with a prospect.
Right.
She was kind of interested in my social media marketing. It was like $40. She was like, yeah, I'll pay you $40 for you to come up and talk and consult with us. I took the train up and it was like, it was, you know, not the best trip I made. It was
right,
a pretty.
Right. For $40.
Yeah. And it was really, but you know.
But it's a good experience.
Yeah. And so after that, I realized I couldn't join the Army because of a medical disqualification.
Right. Is it the ADHD?
That's one of it.
Right.
There's a couple of other things, but
it could be a saving grace. Actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought sometimes, you know, obviously my parents had, you know, they were doing their best to be supportive, but it is difficult to say, you know, okay, we support a child going into the military.
Right.
But
I wouldn't have supported you.
But, and then I realized, you know, okay, I don't have any plans to go to college because I didn't apply.
Right.
I also didn't have any plans for the military, and the only thing I had was my business.
Right.
So I had to do that. I had
right.
to go with that.
Right.
And so I posted a couple ads on Craigslist.
We're going to take a break and
okay.
we'll come back.
Okay, great.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
And we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, and I'm with Joshua Conrad, my SEO genius. So go ahead. So you now are doing this SEO. You're actually learning that you can speak to strangers.
Yeah.
And that you don't have to be shy and reserved. Yeah. You're really into that. And that's like, and then you became a cold calling person. Like,
yeah.
You know, most people are afraid of cold calling.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people
don't like it.
Everyone is.
Right.
Everyone
and is. And so you cold call, and now your clients are, you still work with barbers?
No, I stopped working with the barbers. I don't bill him because like, you know, if he hits me up and he says, okay, I need an image change. Yeah, I'll do it. It takes 5 minutes. I don't care. But, you know, I work now with a large elevator company, and the owner is a great guy. He's an amazing guy. I'm sometimes shocked that he still, you know, uses me to this day. He's just a great guy.
Why not? Why wouldn't he use you?
I don't know. I just feel that, like, you know, there's sometimes where in the past, when I first started, at least, like, I didn't know if I could provide this value. But then I eventually did. I started ranking his site for more of these keywords. We got him about, I think it was like 700,000 in revenue from just the SEO alone, from the leads getting. And so, you know, then after that, after I graduated, I think that's just shortly after I had first met you, I got these calls coming in. From, you know, different networking groups I attended.
So let me share with people. So here's Josh. He goes from an individual that doesn't want to talk to people and wants to live in a basement and work in a basement where he doesn't have to interact with people, to a person that challenged himself and went to Connecticut and took on talking to people that he'd been seeing for years.
Yeah.
Then he, you know, started working in the field of SEO. And it was like, it's literally like, you know, when you're a kid and you go, oh, I can do that. And you just went and did it, right?
Yeah.
And then you worked with your barber. You created a pages for your barber, and you were afraid that he was going to reject them.
Yeah.
Right? So now you're actually working with a huge company, elevator company.
Yeah.
And you helped him to raise like thousands of dollars in revenue.
Yeah.
And so your level of communication and feeling comfortable with yourself and accepting yourself, that on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you say that is now?
I'd say it's about, not 10 yet, obviously, but about 8 or 9. It's getting there. I'm really comfortable being who I am.
Right.
But obviously, every now and then I have, you know, doubts, reflective moments, as like I like to call them. There's times where I sit down, or I might be on like in the shower, or I might be on the train, and I just think. I don't listen to any. I just kind of like think, you know, okay, what could I maybe change a little bit, right? What are there something? I'm becoming more mindful, I guess, short meditation moments, and then just figuring out like what can I do to change from that.
So let's ask the question. So you're 18 now. I'm stuck on 17. Probably that's my age. I'm like 16. But like, so just give yourself 5 years. Where would you say you'd like to be in 5 years?
Yeah. So, I do like what I do in terms of marketing. It's something that I enjoy, but it's not something I would say I'm passionate about. Mm-hmm. Right? I like doing it. It's a great thing. That I'm glad I'm able to do it. And I'm really, really happy with the people I work with.
Mm-hmm.
I also do want to extend the reach. So something that I've kind of left a little bit until recently was the fact that I'm very much into languages.
Okay.
And so I've always loved languages. In high school, I studied Russian. I think, in the end of eighth grade, I started, in the middle school, I saw like a Law and Order episode where they had the Cyrillic alphabet on something. And then I thought, yeah, I want to learn that language.
Mm-hmm.
And so I studied about 8 months studying Russian.
Mm-hmm. Do you speak Russian now?
No, not very well. I can read some. My pronunciation was terrible, but then I started studying other languages like Yiddish, Hebrew, Arabic, Farsi, Pashto, more Japanese, and all these other languages. So in the future, I want to get involved with language learning mm-hmm. and integrating technology and stuff like that to help people learn a language better. Because
right.
there's a lot of programs. If anyone's out there in the language community, there's a lot of different programs and methods you can use to study. But I want to build not just that, but more so of like a community
right.
of that, building the actual platform for language learning
right.
and further education.
Right.
So that's something that I've always been interested in
and
doing.
What do you like to do for fun?
So a very, very wide range of things. And okay. some of
I
them
I know you like to travel a lot.
I do like to travel. I don't necessarily have the money to travel mm-hmm. everywhere.
You can build it.
Yeah, that's what I hope to do. And that's what I aim to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to explore as much as I can.
Do you still live at home?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I plan to move out to Vermont, actually. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. I plan to move out at the end of...
Why Vermont?
I've loved it. I've been there every summer. I love the atmosphere. I love the people. Because mm-hmm. surprisingly, in Vermont, despite it being very... very white. I don't get looks by a local Vermonter.
No, I like Vermont yeah. myself. People are friendly.
Yeah, and they never really notice. Obviously they notice it, but they never really seem to care.
Right.
You know, I've been invited to some guy's dinner.
Too busy eating ice cream.
Yeah, and so they're very friendly people.
Right.
I got invited to someone's dinner once when my car had a little bit of an accident. Someone said, "Hey, do you need a place to stay or whatever?" I was like, no, I'm fine. But he was very friendly. He was like, "No, come in. We're having chicken." I went in for a minute just to use the bathroom, and then I thought that I got to live here. I got to live in this state. And
right.
everywhere in that state, it's like that, or at least what I've noticed.
Do you ski?
I don't ski. I want to. I need to learn to ski,
mm-hmm.
especially if I'm going to live in Vermont.
Right.
But, you know, I want to, I like exploring. So one of the things I really like to do is bushcrafting.
What is that?
It's primitive camping. So
okay,
basically,
going
into the wilderness,
mm-hmm.
and
is that more of like the basement, but it's just out in the wilderness?
Somewhat. It's basically me going out to different state parks, building a fire, shelter, you know, just connecting with nature more.
Uh-huh.
I don't really go on my phone much. I don't really do anything like that stuff. And then I just, you know, I fish, I eat by like a fire.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's miserable, right? Some people are like, you get this image that it's like all
right.
nice and stuff, but
no,
sometimes it's really bummy.
Right.
Like it's really bummy sometimes because it's really cold and
right.
and you're never warm
right.
and it's just miserable. But
and it's dirty.
Yeah, but at the end you feel kind of, not enlightened, but you just feel better. You feel
right.
like, wow, okay. You know, when you go back, when I go back on the train ride back home, I'm like, wow. You
so
know?
How long do you do that for?
So I do that for about a night.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do more. My goal is to just do the Appalachian Trail,
uh-huh.
like with just basically a knife, and that's pretty much it.
Do you know people die out there?
Yeah, I do, and that's why I want to do it. I want to take that risk and do that.
Do you know people die out there and go missing, and their bodies are not found for months
yeah.
and months, and sometimes years?
Yeah, and then there's some people that do it, and then they come out on the other side.
But why would you want to go by yourself?
That's the thing. Despite, you know, overcoming, I'd say, social anxiety or at least becoming better at it, I would definitely say I'm introverted.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much in that I'm shy around people anymore, but more that I get tired.
Right. You don't get your energy from
yeah,
people.
Yeah, I like being alone. I like just, you know, sometimes when I was little, I used to just be in my room and play with toys and stuff and just figure out how something would work.
Right.
Just like for hours.
Right.
And I just like that feeling. I like connecting with people. I like talking with people. It's
right.
great, but I just get tired
after
now.
A while. You get burned out.
Yeah.
I get that.
And so, like being in the wilderness too, you know, you start to really. It's really much like you have to push yourself. You have
I'm
to.
I'm worried
do
that
it.
You're going to turn into like the wilderness. You know, like a long-haired person like out there in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Haven't spoken to anybody in a year.
I mean, when you do the Appalachian Trail, there's lots of communities. There's people that are also doing it because there are also crazy people out there that do that.
But you're not going to just do the Appalachian Trail with a knife.
There are some people that have done that. They're not with just a knife, but they've done it with basically a knife, a flint and steel, and like minimal gear. Just because you then learn obviously I don't want to do
it's
this.
It's like survival. You
yeah. I don't want to do this obviously tomorrow. I
right.
want to prepare for it, but that's something I want to do. But other things I genuinely like doing are,
mm-hmm.
you know, reading about anything.
Mm-hmm.
So from languages, I love learning languages. I love learning. It's one of my favorite things to do.
Right.
And I also really like to study whatever. So
you're just like you're a lifelong learner. So this is something that you feel that you're going to be doing for the rest.
Yeah.
What about like social life? What do you do things that the average 17-year-old does?
I'm just looking
at what I did at 17 was like party.
Yeah.
I just wanted to go dancing.
I've been to parties before. One thing about them, I will say, because I'm more introverted. I'm okay with being in a party. I don't really care so much. It's not I'm not like, let's go to a party. Right. I'll go if someone invites me or a gathering or whatever. I just get tired after like 5-10 minutes. I don't want to be home sometimes.
Right, right.
But I do have, I have a lot of great friends who I hang out with. And obviously, in my high school, I did everything I need high school, smoking weed, drinking, causing trouble. So, yeah.
No. Is that what you do in high school?
So, I mean, I still, I still hang out with friends. We still do, crazy stuff sometimes.
Right.
And then, but I also then have to balance that out with a business side that I am, one of the sacrifices, the biggest sacrifices I made was that. I know that I won't have the amount of freedom, or not freedom, but more. I won't have the same opportunities as people that have gone to college.
Mm-hmm. Why did you say that?
What I say, I mean by that is it's not the same opportunities, but I have to take a very different path and very different choices. Where obviously in college, it's not too hard, I would assume. Obviously, I don't know. I'm pulling this stuff out of my ass because I didn't go to college.
Yeah, but you don't want to go to college.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you don't want to go to college, then don't go to college.
Yeah, exactly.
And here you are. You're like 18. You might want to try it on later on. I didn't go to college until I was 27.
Exactly. So, I've always said to my parents, maybe it'd be, 5 years down the line, I might decide to be an engineer. I don't know. I really don't know. But right now, it's not for me. Mm-hmm. But one of the sacrifices I made was that, you don't live that, college life or whatever. And sometimes...
you just do life differently.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes, I'm like, okay, well, they're having fun, partying. Yeah, I kind of got to get up early at 6 a.m. to talk with people. And obviously, I make ways around to, socialize with people, go to different groups and stuff and the gatherings.
We're going to do that one break. We're going to take a break and we'll come right back.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
And we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And I'm speaking to Josh Conrad. What makes Josh Conrad so special that I would speak to him? He's 18 years old and he's living his life the way he wants to live it. And he did not allow teachers and their conversations about his learning ability to impact his life. He chose his own path. He's walking his own road. And I'm so proud of you for doing that. Because... literally, you could have taken that on what they said, and it could just cripple your life. But you challenge yourself. So I think you're here for something big.
I hope so. I really hope so.
Because you're not doing normal things. You know, I did pull up on the internet today, and I found that they had the top five people that were top five young people that were running successful businesses.
Mm.
The youngest, one of them was 11, and three of them were 13. Two brothers, 11 and 13. They were running, I think it was a cookie company or something like that. Another 13-year-old was running a cookie company. An 11-year-old was running she was making cookies or lemonade. She had a lemonade, a real business, making real money. And then the top guy was 30 years old, and he was running a venture capitalist company.
Uh-huh.
Right. So there are a lot of young people out there that are actually doing their own businesses, creating their own. I think they're like old people in young people's bodies, actually. Do you ever feel like that, like you've been here before?
No, I can't say I have. No, everything.
So how do your parents? How do your parents? How do your parents feel about you doing your own business?
Well, I very much have to thank them for being very supportive. I've been very fortunate to be, you know, placed with my whole life very caring and supportive parents.
Mm-hmm.
And I know at times it can be difficult because sometimes, you know, you have a child and they come up with crazy ideas. It's kind of, you know, you have to force yourself sometimes to see eye to eye with that. And so I'm very thankful that, you know, they've been quite supportive of what I do.
What's the craziest idea that you've ever come up with? They're like, oh my God.
Oh, there have been lots of them. Mm-hmm. I can't really pinpoint some.
But they just let you get on with it.
Yeah, my father has been very good. My mother, I can relate to in terms of spontaneity a little bit more because she studied a bunch of weird languages. She's worked in many different industries.
Mm-hmm.
So I relate with that more. My father is much more of like a rigid or
structured.
Yeah. And so, the two of that combined.
Balance.
Yeah, it is a very good balance, and I'm very, very thankful.
What did your father do?
So my father actually, he's a professor.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a professor, and my mother, she does more IT kind of support. She worked in so many different industries, but I tell them like,
you're a combination of both.
In some ways, I guess. And my mother, or I sometimes tell my mom and dad like, hey, I want to start a garbage cleaning business, or like I want to start like a ATM business, or something really weird.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they're like, get serious. What are you talking about? And then obviously I don't take that as like
a put down.
Yeah, because first of all, if I want to do it,
I will
do it. Right. If I really want to do something, I'm going to do it.
Right.
But then sometimes, it does get a bit, okay, probably wouldn't want to anyway for certain things. Obviously, there's some things like building. Right now, I'm actually working with a close friend of mine in developing kind of like a small app. It's very, very much in development.
Mm-hmm.
But, I kind of want to do that, and then along with my current company. And
is it because you want to do it so you see how far you can take it? It's like you
want
to have
one
the
of the
experience.
Things. Yeah, that's definitely one of the things that I want to do is, see how far I can go in life. And, I forgot there's a proverb that was don't wish for an easy life, but wish for the strength to endure a difficult one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one that I just really, really like. It's always stuck with me.
Right.
And so I want to
see like the challenges of life.
Yeah. I very much like taking on a challenge and just seeing how far I can go with it.
Right.
All right. My mother is a bit more. Every mother is very protective over their child. Right. And so she'll say, if you have some sort of issue, you have to have like a whole map of plans of how to get it around, because obviously we worry about a child, right?
Right.
And in my mind, I always think like, okay, if I lose my phone and wallet and everything in like the middle of like Kansas City, I know I have to find a way back home.
Oh, absolutely.
I have to do, and I'm going to. It's not a different whether of whether or not. I'm going to.
Right.
I could lose everything. And I need to be able to feel confident enough that I could get back okay.
Right.
Yeah. And so I like doing those kind of challenges, whether it's being alone or very much spontaneity. I would very much say I'm a spontaneous person.
But I would say that you're a spontaneous person only because you have plans. Because a person that doesn't have any plans can't be spontaneous. They just don't have any plans.
Yeah.
Because most people understand it that way.
Yeah. And there are some people that I've known who are like that, right? And people my age, obviously, when you're about 18, 17, you don't really think about, not every kid's thinking about building up a business.
Right.
But then there's some kids that I've noticed that don't really have much of a sense of direction.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I don't really feel like one to judge that. But then there's some kids that are really losing direction.
Right.
And kind of dig themselves into like a rabbit hole and get stuck there. And I've always said, you know, I want to avoid that.
Right.
I want to always feel like I'm living life.
And, right.
You know, obviously there's sometimes throughout the day where certain negative thoughts do appear, as with everyone else. Mm-hmm. Right. But then, you know, I remind myself that I'm living.
You're alive now.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm alive. And then,
so what is it? What is the do you want to have children? Are you interested in any of that stuff?
So
do you see yourself with that?
I've seen myself in and out of being a father. It feels weird to think that I would have children that are
one
like
day.
Me. Yeah. And also just because
you probably have children that are more like you, but 2.0, 3.0 of you.
Yeah. And that would be kind of scary sometimes. Sometimes thinking like that, like I would have, that would be kind of scary is that,
but you'd handle it just like your parents are handling.
Yeah.
Situation.
But I would be scared knowing that there's somebody as crazy as I am.
That's why I didn't have children.
And then as also some half of someone from someone else.
Right.
So it'd be kind of a weird mix for me in my mind. But then I thought about it, like, yeah, I could see myself possibly adopting a child.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
It's kind of doing what I did, what would happen to me.
Right.
And then, you know, then, but the thing about that is that it becomes quite limiting, right? If you have a child, because you're taking a different life. If you have a child.
But it doesn't have to be limited. I mean,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
it, but I'm sure, you know, so many things have happened within my lifetime. So many changes have happened. So many people have done, like, I have a friend that she had a child and she strapped the baby to her back and she was traveling the world with the kid.
Yeah.
Right? Now the kid's like this big time fashion model. Right? And she wanted to be a teacher when she was five.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just works out.
Yeah.
You know, so I wouldn't even put that in. For me, I would just say enjoy yourself. Enjoy
yeah,
your life.
And
just put yourself, have the experiences. I was at Abraham Hicks this weekend. I don't know if you know about Abraham Hicks. It's an entity that speaks through this woman. And one of the things that they were saying is like, we're here to have experiences. So mm-hmm. the more experiences that we have, the better for us. And if we're having an experience and it's no longer working, leave it alone. Don't sit and suffer with it. Let it go and get on to the new experience, the one that's going to move you forward and have you mm-hmm. enjoy. Because her thing is like, we're here to experience life and have a good time and enjoy ourselves. But what happens is we lose focus, we get stuck, and we don't believe that we deserve or can have what we say we want.
Yeah, and I've noticed that as you get older, you know, you do a lot of emphasis on money and mm-hmm. like responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always tried to keep that childish, playful mentality of mm-hmm. like, yeah, if I lost all my money, I'd be really bummed for a while. But I also want to, I like to think that, okay, well, I'll still have my hands, still have my
feet. Right, your health and your well
I'll be okay,
yes.
physically speaking. And that's a very stoic mentality, which I've adopted very much, mm-hmm. is stoicism. Right. And stoicism and more philosophy of like living and like understanding that, yes, things do come to an end.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But you enjoy the time while being around.
Right.
And that, you know, being okay with the fact that things will, you
one
will,
day we'll die.
Yeah. One day you will die and one day you will pass on. To, you know, be accepting of that.
Right. And just kind of, oh, sorry. Like, we're going to get dead in a minute. We're going to take a break and we'll come right back. Oh, we don't need to take a break yet. We got 3 minutes to the end.
Yeah.
So where can people find you, Josh?
So if anybody's interested, my website is jcsurge.com.
Uh-huh.
And I have, you know, my Instagram tag is @joshua.ct. So if anybody wants to reach out, you know, they can either email me at joshct@jcsurge.com or hit me up on Instagram or whatever, really. You know, if you search up Joshua Conrad, you'll probably find me.
Right.
There's not many Joshua Conrads out there.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm more than happy to speak with anybody about anything. I've had people call me for weird reasons, like people wanting advice on like starting a kitchen remodeling business. And I said, you know, I don't know anything about that. And so, you know, okay, I don't know how you got this number, but, you know, I'm more than happy to kind of, you know, answer any questions that I can answer.
Right.
So I'm very open with people.
And what would you tell an 18-year-old today? What advice would you give an 18-year-old?
That nothing matters. And that you can see that in two ways. You can either see that as like, oh, nobody cares. It's like a gloomy way, or that, you know, it's like a sandbox. You could just create whatever you want, really. Right. And to just, if you have that playful mentality, just keep going with it. And right. you will find something that kind of fits and to get comfortable with that.
Right. Yeah. Right. So in the words of Joshua, enjoy your life. Do what, find what fits. It's life is a sandbox and you should play in it.
Yeah.
And build whatever you want to build.
Have
so
fun.
Josh, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the show. I think you're amazing. I am so impressed with you. I think you're wonderful. And I wish you were my son, but I wouldn't imagine. So thank you for coming to the show. And this is Noreen Sumter signing off from Beyond Potential. Live life your way. Bye.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Hey, all you crazy listeners.
Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates?
Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.